Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:19 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 23rd. And there was a lot of activity in markets today, but oil really does stand out for the clear downward break that we have from the most recent range. If we simply look at the price action, then we had a little staircase, step sequence uptrend from the lows back in December. And these little ranges were about 6 weeks long, and they didn't have an amplitude of more than about $4. Then we had a $7 pullback, and then it started to rebound until last week, but it's now rolled over. It's broken the sequence of higher reaction lows. So now there is now a lower high, there's a lower low. It has broken the progression of higher reaction lows. This is a meaningful break in the succession of higher highs that we've seen over the course of the last 5 months, and it does suggest we're in for a much more volatile period in oil, and that there is scope here for additional downside, or at the very least much more volatile trading. When we think about it in terms of the weekly chart, then it is in the region of the trend mean, and there is potentially scope that it may find support here. But if it's going to do that, it's going to need a very clear and strong upward dynamic. A $3 move on the downside in oil is significant, and there is scope here for a significant failure. There has been now a very clear loss of uptrend consistency that tells us that the imbalance between supply and demand that had been driving the market higher has changed. Well, there are two particular reasons for that. One is that trade war rhetoric and worries that we're not going to see an end to the trade war anytime soon, could potentially see an intensification of it, are starting to become mainstream. And then you have the additional point that U.S. production continues to rise. The one defining characteristic of the U.S. is that it's privately owned. Privately owned companies have a clear vested interest in volume, whereas state-owned companies have more of an interest in price. So they don't have private-owned companies don't have an incentive to try and support prices by limiting supply. They've got debts to pay. They've got leverage against the market. They need to continue to generate cash flow, and therefore they're going to pump as much as they can. Well, what this is starting to confirm is that the $80 area represents a significant area of resistance. And $40 is probably an area of support. We could be in a range here for oil prices between $40 and $80 for the foreseeable future. And by that I mean years rather than months, that we are in a secular bear market for oil prices, and that the massive sources of additional supply that have come in at progressively higher levels, that is the definition of a secular bull market, that prices will continue to rise until we get a increase in the marginal cost of supply that brings in additional sources of supply. And after that, prices will be locked in a long range until demand increases to such an extent that it overwhelms that previous source of new supply. Well, we're going to be quite some time before we get to a place where there is going to be a demand-dominated environment for oil prices, particularly against an environment where global economic activity has been slowing down. That is less evident in the USA than it is in places like China. Well, the Chinese market was in negative territory in here today. And this is less volatile than we've seen over the course of the last year. So this isn't particularly any evidence that that the Communist Party administration have stopped supporting the market, but they're not capable of sending it higher against a background where there is considerable angst about the outlook for trade. When, for example, we look at the H shares index in Hong Kong, well, this is an index where foreign investors have much greater sway, and it has failed to find support in the region of the trend mean, and it extended its decline in here today. Well, it's also worth taking a view at or a look at Tencent, because that has also now broken below its trend mean. It has broken its succession of higher reaction lows. This is a major trend inconsistency against a background where we had had a very positive environment all the way through until last week. This could still have been a reasonably consistent environment if it had found support in the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range back on the 16th. Then this could still have been an uptrend, but now we've had consecutive days in the downside, it's broken the advance, and we're in for a much more volatile period of trading. And against that background, if we consider that the H shares index is a much more internationally oriented, well, then the US listed Chinese companies have been the vehicles through which people have been expressing a bearish view on China. So Alibaba has also broken down. JD.com has had a slew of scandals over the course of the last 12 months, but it is also now pulling back below the trend mean. When we look at some of the education companies that had been really doing fantastically well in 2018, they're right now in the region of their respective trend means. This is a potential area of support, but golly, it's really going to have to demonstrate in emphatic fashion that this is support if these better performing shares aren't going to continue to push extend or to, I think, potentially pull back below their respective trend means and test underlying support. NetEase was also in negative territory here today. These are, again, some of the better performing companies. It's going to have to continue to hold that $250 area. What's also rather interesting in here is that the semiconductors are taking the brunt of selling pressure. Advanced Micro Devices, for example, was down a dollar in here today, and it still has a rather large overextension relative to the trend mean. NVIDIA has confirmed resistance in the region of the trend mean. It was also in negative territory, extending its downtrend in here today. So, and that's particularly interesting, the fact that NVIDIA is pulling back in such a violent fashion in response to China worries, despite the fact that the Ethereum price has been relatively stable. Now, Ethereum isn't mined through the ASIC processors that Bitcoin is. It's much more about graphics cards, and Ethereum mining really is all about buying chips from companies like AMD and NVIDIA, and yet they are continuing to pull back. Well, then that is perhaps the clearest evidence we have of, I think, fear about the health of the Chinese economy. But the renminbi today was relatively steady, but it does look increasingly likely that we are at least going to touch the 7 area. Then the big question is how much support the Chinese government is going to give to the currency. Now, when we look at China's reserves in terms of foreign exchange, it is currently around 3 trillion, and it has been holding above that 3 trillion area for the last 2.5 years. But back in 2014, it was 4 trillion. And there is, I think, obviously, if they're going to try and support the currency, well, the easy thing to do would be to sell dollars. And, they've got approximately 3 trillion of them. And that would obviously then represent a headwind to the size of their forex reserves. But, of course, the much bigger source of wealth in China is domestic savings. And when Xi Jinping is talking about a new long march, well, there's nobody is under any illusion that that was a party, and that I'm sure there are going to be plenty of people who are thinking, well, call me when you get back, and there is a really a potential here that for capital flight. Well, that is obviously something that is inhibiting the devaluation of the currency, because that is the one thing that the Chinese administration are particularly worried by. All of the non-performing loans can be dealt with, provided they can hold on to their domestic savings. So I think that is one of the most important things to pay attention to. Well, in India, the Congress Party have conceded defeat, and Narendra Modi is heading towards an outright majority again. Well, that's going to further concentrate power in the hands of the BJP, and they have won this election by appealing to nationalist fervor. So that has represented a clear bump on the upside over the last week, but then we had a downside Q reversal in here today, and that suggests that we are going to see some pause of consolidation in the region of the all-time peaks. Then, when we think about the Indian rupee, it was in negative territory in here today. So now the big question is the extent to which the RBI is willing to cut interest rates in order to support growth, and also exactly what does Narendra Modi have in store for us over the next few years. How growth-oriented is he going to be? Well, the Bombay Banks Index was well off its highs in here today, and that does suggest that we are in for a fresh bout of consolidation. Then the other big market where we've seen headlines here has been Indonesia, and the price had pulled back really violently in May to date, but has been bouncing. Now, this is bouncing from the region of the progression of higher reaction lows. It's going to have to sustain a move back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, when we think about the rupiah, it's continuing to weaken here, so that is representing a headwind. When we then think about, for example, Brazil, well, the Brazilian real has steadied, but it has not yet been able to sustain a move stronger than 4. So that is something that I think investors will be paying greater attention to. The Bovespa index has, however, bounced from the region of the trend mean. Sorry for the occasional pauses, I seem to have got the hiccups. And when we look at this chart, it's still one of the most consistent out there. Of course, the very strong performance we've had from the Australian market has created a short-term overbought condition, so there is potential here for some consolidation, but it does look increasingly likely that we are going to see it push back up towards the peaks seen all the way back in 2007. And the New Zealand market, which has had perhaps the most consistent of all trends internationally, was in additional positive territory in here today. It's being supported by the strength of the domestic economy, but also the weakness of the New Zealand dollar. But even there, we did see some weakness for the US dollar in here today. So the New Zealand dollar put in a very small upside key. Now, the key to the key is size, and there is a clear progression of lower rally highs in here, and there is a short-term oversold condition. So there is scope for some steadying, and the Australian dollar has also at least steadied. So we also have some potential here for some steady action. Then, when we look at the dollar index, well, we've had a downside Q reversal in here today. So what we are starting to see is that there is some speculation, at least, that the US economy is not going to escape unscathed from the increasing trade frictions. That has been a boost for gold prices, and gold today was up about $10. Now, it still has that sequence of lower rally highs, but sentiment is getting increasingly negative, and the much bigger picture is that it is at least steadying from the region of the trend mean. Now, we won't have clear confirmation that this is more than short-term steadying until it has broken that sequence of lower rally highs and a sustained move above $1,300 would confirm that. So I think this is an increasingly interesting market to pay attention to. But meanwhile, the copper price has continued to compress, and it was in slightly positive territory in here today, but and there is a short-term oversold condition, but it has a lot of work to do in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. It would have to at least sustain a move back above the trend mean. But what we can certainly start to conclude here is that some of the bullish impetus behind the dollar is starting to come out. Then that is likely to be beneficial to commodities generally, but gold in particular. Also, silver was in positive territory in here today. Of course, it is going to need upside follow through tomorrow and to also break its progression of lower rally highs in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand dominated environment. But this is at least suggesting that some support is coming back in. Then when we look at what's going on Wall Street, well, the S&P 500 was in negative territory in here today, but it rallied in the last hour of trading to unwind at least part of the decline. But this is also the region of the trend mean. So it's a natural area where we might anticipate some support coming back in. I think the best case scenario would be that we get additional ranging and we're coming back down towards the lower side of the range. The much bigger question is whether it can find support here or whether we're going to have a more volatile period of time. I do think that the potential is that we're going to have a longer hiatus in terms of the trade war. What is being demanded of China is that they go through a massive slew of reforms, and they just don't seem to have the appetite for that, because it would directly, I think, diminish the potential that they're going to reach their goal of global hegemon over the course of the next 15 years. So that's obviously the end objective of the trade war, and that's not something that China is willing to countenance at the present moment. Well, we've had a somewhat weaker dollar and a weaker stock market, and the treasury prices pushed on to new recovery highs in here today. Well, what this is clearly suggesting is that bond investors have clearly concluded that the Federal Reserve is not going to be raising rates in this any further, that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle. Generally speaking, it's usually when the Federal Reserve is on pause and that stock markets can do reasonably well. The contraction of the balance sheet is going to end in September, so that is going to remove a headwind to global liquidity. What's also, I think, particularly interesting is that when we look at the total assets of central banks, well, what they are responding to is the fact that we have had some weakness in the dollar, so it popped on the upside in here today. It was up an additional $41 billion. The more the dollar weakens, the better global liquidity becomes. That would also help to foment some interest in emerging markets, for the simple reason that if the dollar is weakening, then those currencies are naturally appreciating, and therefore the yield, the valuation becomes more attractive when you have the currency on your side. Then the other currency that did appreciate in here today was the Japanese yen. So this is some safe haven buying of the yen starting to come through. When we look at a day where treasuries, the yen, and gold prices were in stronger territory, does suggest that there is some risk off coming through in this market. Then when we look at Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, it was down today to 1,300 points. So It has now come back to another fresh low. It has failed to sustain to find support in the region of the trend mean. Now there is a short-term oversold condition which has replaced the short-term overbought condition, but we have no evidence yet that this condition is over. Then when we look at some of the companies that are most susceptible to heightened trade frictions, Apple prices are back below the trend mean as well. It was down $3 in here today. Tesla, despite the fact that we had a positive or a more enthusiastic email coming out from Elon Musk, was not quite able to hold on to all of its rally in here today because, well, I think one of the reasons for that is they're building a factory in China, and but are Chinese people going to buy their cars? That's the very big question. So we are in a more risk-off environment. I think that is what we're starting to see here. When we look at the outlook for example, the NASDAQ 100, which has been leading on the upside, it does look likely it is going to fully unwind its overextension relative to the trend mean. It has failed to sustain the breakout to new highs. The last time it failed, it made a lower low. Well, it is going to have to hold at least 50% of the advance up in order to confirm that we are more in a period similar to 2015 and 16 rather than a topping characteristic. Now, when we look at the yield curve spread, it's at 17 basis points. So it has contracted over the course of the last couple of weeks. Well, what that is suggesting is we're going to have to see some activity to support liquidity, or this is going to become an inverted yield curve. The 10-year is not moving as quickly as the 2-year, and it is that spread between those two points on the yield curve is the most classically looked at. The 2-year yield has continued to contract, and in fact, if we're looking for consistent trends, well then the trend that we see in government bond prices is one of the most consistent anywhere. So despite the fact that there is perhaps a short-term oversold condition, this remains a consistent trend, and that is representative of people starting to take money off the table. And against that background, we're going to have to see earnings continue to do well, and there is obviously a headwind to that if the trade war continues to intensify. Well, the big question now is how much tolerance for stock market volatility does President Trump have? And so far, over the last 6 months, investors have concluded that President Trump would have very little tolerance for a stock market pullback. So now the big question is whether we're going to see trade rhetoric improve in order to support the market, because in its absence, the chances are we're going to see an uptick in volatility. The VIX index, having briefly popped below 15 yesterday, reversed that decline in here today, but again, not in an especially dynamic manner. I do continue to think that we're more likely to range than trend over the course of the next couple of months. We are in the least favorable time of the year in terms of stock market performance. It is quite normal to see a somewhat larger pullback in the first half of the third year of the US presidential cycle, and we're still in the first half of that year. So that is potentially a scenario that we should at least give some credence to. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.